priests, ministers of religion were reeled in to hear the results of a recent appraisal. Here's a snapshot of some of the things that they heard. Good news, church attendance increased dramatically in the last 3 weeks of the year. The bad news, you were on holiday. Good news, the pastor parish relations committee accepted your job description just the way you wrote it. Explains very well what happens in the parish. They were so inspired that they've asked the bishop to send someone else to actually fulfill that role. Good news, the PCC finally voted to add much more church parking. The bad news, they're going to tarmac the front lawn of the vicarage. Bit of a reality check. Appraisals have always been around. And Paul's letter, because that's where we're going to go today, we're going to look in Paul's letter to Timothy, reads just like that. It's a kind of an appraisal of what's going on in the church at that time. And Paul felt that he was addressing issues that prevented the church from flourishing as it ought. Things were getting in the way of God's church increasing in size and in spirituality. Timothy's responsibility, poor chap, was to sort it out. That's what he was there to do. Paul wrote the letter for him to bring all those things about. So I'd like you to follow this with me. So we're going to turn to Paul's first letter to Timothy, chapter 3. It's on page 1192. We're in chapter 3 of that. And we're going to go to the end of the passage because actually the reasons for writing all these things Paul makes very clear. We're going to look at verses 14 and 15 first of all. Paul says, although I hope to come to you as soon as I can, I am writing you these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. Paul is passionate about the church because it is Christ's passion. And in a moment we're going to come back to the first part of that chapter to see what Paul has to say to overseers, deacons and the wider church. But first of all, we look at the reason why. And in that verse, we see that Paul is passionate about the church because Christ is passionate about his church. And in first century Ephesus, Christianity and the voice of the early apostles and Christians was vying for space in a world where there were many gods. Many gods were being worshipped, false gods. But Paul was reminding Timothy of the one true and living God who towers above them all as God in Christ. And that mystery about the church and its importance and its value is encapsulated in those final few verses in verse 16, where Paul says, beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great. And this is kind of poem or hymn that perhaps they used to say together, I don't know, but these are wonderful words. He appeared in a body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, and he was taken up in glory. Just want to look at those verses for a few moments. Jesus is what this passage is talking about. God came as a human being, and Jesus was that human being. We've just celebrated his birth in the incarnation. Revealed in the flesh, this hymn goes. Revealed in the flesh. No other God has ever revealed himself in this particular way. There is only one God, and Jesus came and he was revealed in the flesh. He became like one of us so that we might become like him. He was justified by the Spirit. All the things that Jesus said about himself came true. He came to preach the gospel, heal the sick, to raise the dead. And he himself said, I will die, the Son of Man will be betrayed, he will die, and on the third day he will be raised. justified by the Spirit. On the third day, he was raised. We worship a true and living God. He is alive. He is present here this very day in our lives too. The next part of that poem says he was seen by angels and proclaimed among the nations. And as we heard in after his baptism, Jesus was thrust out into the wilderness to begin his ministry. And it was in the wilderness that he was attacked by Satan in all kinds of ways. But he was ministered to by angels. Seen by angels, ministered to by angels. Proclaimed among the nations. That was part of the good news of the gospel, that Jesus was going to make it possible for all people, anywhere, at any time, to hear the good news. That here is the message of salvation that God has wrought through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, still happening this very day. And it's for that reason, of course, that people are often persecuted because of their faith and the love of God. 20,000 people currently are in prison, they reckon, in North Korea. That's just in North Korea, because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Proclaimed among the nations, still happening today. Believed in the world, which takes trust and loyalty. You know, God's loyalty towards us and his faithfulness is amazing. Despite all the mistakes that we tend to make in life, God is faithful. We need to hang on to that truth. But also we need to hang on to that trust and belief. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Let nothing else get in the way, but trust in him with all your heart. Believed in the world, taken up in glory. We know that Jesus ascended to his Father's side once everything on earth had been completed, that our humanity might be represented in the heavenly places. Did you know that when you become a Christian, that's when eternity begins for you? And we're seated in the heavenly places in a mysterious and extraordinary way with Jesus Christ. Yes, we have to live our lives out here on earth, but there's a part of us that's with him forever, and nothing separates us from him. So it's because of these things, these reasons, that Paul wrote this extraordinary letter and this part of the letter with such passion and authority. And it is the basis for all that goes before in this letter and all that comes after. He wanted people to understand the importance of the church. Now, I come across many people who say, I just don't get the church. I believe in God, but I don't get the church. But actually, the church is really important. But in order for this to be important and for it to flourish as God intends, a number of things should ring true about the church. And in the Church of the Living God, we have a body of people. We say together that we are the body of Christ, who actually need each other. And this needs to be understood and embraced. We cannot do without each other. It's one of the ways in which God, in an extraordinary way, in a mysterious way, reveals himself through each other, through his Spirit in each of us. So we do need each other. And so regular Christian worship is a part of what the early church understood was important. And in the early church, they actually met every day, not once a week. So it's really important to them, because they recognize God's presence, not just in individuals, but in the body of people. The church is really important. Goes on to say that the church is a pillar and foundation of truth. This is in verse 15. A pillar and foundation of truth. Well, it may not always feel that way, and certainly many have complained from the outside looking in that when they look at the church, truth seems to be compromised in so many ways through ungodly behavior and so forth. But actually, at its heart, there is an understanding that we are a people who need to be together, and God is working his purpose out in us, and it takes time. We are being changed from glory into glory. We will make mistakes. It's the place where mistakes are put right with God. We do need each other. Unfortunately, when Paul wrote to Timothy about the state of the church in Ephesus, his concerns were as basic as that, the state of the church. And so Timothy's job was to ensure that the right kind of leadership was in place. And so in the first part of chapter 3, we see the role for overseers or bishops. And quite clearly, something was not quite right. It says in verse 2, the overseer must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife, temperate, self-controlled, which kind of suggests that they probably weren't. Maybe, we don't really know, but he's addressing an issue that was true for the early church. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. Just about to leave. But I'm not an overseer, so it's okay. So it was important that the right kind of leadership was in place. And Timothy somehow had to address this issue. Poor old Timothy, he had to speak to these leaders. Maybe remove some of them because they weren't getting it right. He had to ensure too that the church's teaching was on an even keel and established according to biblical principles and the testimony of Jesus. This is really important. And of course, if this isn't true, then there's a problem because the church cannot flourish as it ought. The same was true for deacons. I'm kind of skipping over this quite a bit because it's quite difficult for me to say it. Really, I need to be assessed by others, I suppose. But anyway, actually, it's quite true. We do have appraisals in the church now. Each year, we're invited to have a think about our ministry and what's happening. Not in terms of statistics and whether there are many people in church or not, but how are we living our lives according to the gospel? Are we reading our Bible regularly and praying properly? Are we, you know, inviting people to think about their faith in the community and those kinds of things? That's an appraisal by any other means. And if, of course, we misbehave, there are rules and regulations which can move us on. Not easily, but they can do it. So overseers and deacons actually had to act responsibly in the early church, and of course they do today. But it's also true for the whole people of God, because we're called the priesthood of all believers, and it's really important that we understand that we all have a role to play. And at the point of our baptism and confirmation in the Church of England, we took on the challenges of following Christ, which means to live the best we can by his Spirit, according to the principles laid out in Scripture. Things weren't right in the early church, and they're not particularly right today, but we are a work in progress. And so, there are instructions for appointments. For instance, it says there should be no recent converts becoming overseers, or even deacons for that matter. And also in verse 7 it says they ought to be well thought of by outsiders. That's an interesting idea, isn't it? That the appointments of new bishops, priests and deacons, actually, they should be well thought of by people outside of the Christian community too. And all of these things ought to be taken into consideration before someone is appointed. Certainly it says in Scripture that people who follow Christ ought to be having an impact on the wider community, not just the Christian community. And the church should be well thought of. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. And of course, what we also see in this passage is that Paul was actually preparing Timothy to prepare the church for the time when there would not be an apostolic presence, in quite the sense that Paul, Peter, and the others were. But there would be bishops, as we have in this diocese and in other dioceses too. And they would be overseers, and there would be deacons, and so forth. And the whole church needs to be prepared in order that we can live our lives according to the principles within Scripture, making sure that we look out for each other properly. Bishops should be looking out for their priests and deacons. And we should be looking out for the sheep within our pasture, as it were. And all of us have a responsibility to check ourselves about the way we speak to individuals within the church. Is there anyone with whom we don't particularly get on very well? Then that ought to be sorted out somehow, because it's not right. Do we ignore people? That's not right. All of these things have an outward witness to the world. The way we behave here is what the world looks upon. It's really important. And of course, if these things are adhered to, then all the things that are meant to happen with the church, including preaching the gospel, healing the sick, which is a really vital part of Jesus' ministry and the church's ministry, make more sense. This is meant to be a place where people can meet with God and meet with the healing love of God too. And all of us, without exception, at some point in our lives, whether it's because of physical problems or mental or spiritual problems, we do need the healing love of God. So this is a place to find God's healing, to find places where we can put to rights the things that are wrong in our lives and in our relationships too. This is where we can do these things, in a secure space where God is present, the true and living God. And that is what I believe Paul was teaching Timothy to do in the early church. To make sure it was a place where people could learn of Christ and grow together in love. I don't know if you turn to 1 Timothy 3, but I want us to say the last, that little hymn that's at the end there. Verse 16 to the end of the chapter. Because it is a hymn. Just where it begins, he appeared, okay? We're going to say this together. He appeared in a body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory. Amen. Let us pray.